When Representative Don Shuter was expelled by his colleagues during the 2018 legislative session, the first such expulsion in more than 25 years, it was seen as a step that lawmakers had raised expectations for colleagues' behavior. The next phase was supposed to involve the creation of an official code of conduct, but that never happened. Dustin Gardner of the Arizona Republic wrote about that recently and is with me. Dustin, didn't it seem as though there was momentum to move ahead with that code of conduct? So what happened?
Yeah, it definitely seemed like there was a lot of traction on this last session. I mean, we had the top two leadership members in the legislature, Senate President Steve Yarbrough and House Speaker J.D. Mesnard. They're both no longer in those positions, but last session they came out very vocally and said that, you know, it's time for a code of conduct. This will help ensure public trust. It seemed like something was definitely going to get done. And then it just kind of went to the back burner. And then, you know, later Yarbrough tells us there wasn't enthusiasm among his members, so he just didn't want to pursue it. But, you know, here we are a year later, and there's still nothing in writing.
But it does seem with the backlash against Shuter, the fact that the House actually took the action to expel him, did you hear anything else? Did Mesnard talk to you and say why he didn't think there'd been any progress?
Yeah, Mesnard, you know, he wanted something to happen. And his explanation was that simply a lot of things happened last session that distracted from this. You know, there was especially the Red for Ed teacher walkouts. You know, you had tens of thousands of teachers protesting at the Capitol. And that kind of distracted lawmakers from this scandal conduct kind of cloud that that hovered over the first part of their session last year. And Mesnard said, you know, once it became clear that the Senate and Yarbrough didn't want to act on a code of conduct, that those things had kind of taken precedent, and then they were out of session, and it was just too late to do something.
Based on the folks you talked to, is there reason to believe that it is needed? And by needed, I mean truly needed. There has to be a code of conduct, or would some people see it as we want to look like we're doing something in good faith? It looks good for our body to do this.
Yeah, I mean, there's kind of two camps on that from the folks that I talked to down there. You had lawmakers who, a lot of them basically say that, you know, voters are the ones who hold us accountable, and there's not a whole lot the legislature can do to punish people outside of that. An expulsion like we talked about is incredibly rare. And then you have another camp of lawmakers who feel like having expectations in writing sets a tone of the type of behavior and decorum and sort of statesmanship expected down there. And so I think if this progresses, and we don't have very, very much indication that it will, but if they take this debate up again, I think we'll see those two debates kind of play out with people feeling like, you know, this belongs in the hands of voters, and others saying, you know, that this track record of scandals shows there clearly needs to be some sort of expectation put out there.
And was there a delineation there between whether it was actual conduct, whether sexual harassment or DUI, as opposed to someone like David Stringer, who says things that people are uncomfortable with? Would there have been a dividing line there?
You know, because nothing has been released in writing, we're not sure exactly what which topics they want to broach with these rules. But obviously, yeah, there's degrees of conduct that has been discussed. You know, something like harassment, I think lawmakers feel like that is an area where they have more leeway to punish a fellow member because, you know, there are kind of there are legal ramifications. There's questions of, you know, how your conduct is impacting others. But, you know, they're less comfortable when it comes to rules that would regulate maybe viewpoints or beliefs of fellow lawmakers. So it's a very fine line, and some of them are kind of anxious to walk that line. I think that's why there's been some hesitancy here.
I seem to remember when J.D. Mesnard was Speaker of the House, he was talking about how the state has a human resources department, in essence, but the legislature doesn't. So how do you find that fine line when lawmakers are punishing each other as opposed to there being an overseeing board of some sort? I mean, was that a hesitation at all that you heard?
Yeah, that was a big piece of it. You know, there hadn't really been many HR policies in the House of Representatives before Mesnard came along, and he spent a lot of his time as Speaker working on those types of policies to get, you know, just kind of modern rules in place for the institution. And now, you know, I'm not sure if that work is going to continue. Rusty Bauer is the new speaker. He hasn't talked about this area a whole lot. And there is very much kind of an old school of lawmakers who feel like there's a reason voters vote for representatives, and that's because they're the ones that are deciding whether their conduct is appropriate.
In the State of the State address yesterday, Governor Ducey did address legislative immunity. One of the few areas where he just got tepid applause when he brought that up to lawmakers. But he didn't really bring up a code of conduct or say, hey, you know, let's do better for the people of Arizona. Did that surprise you at all? Did you get any comments or thoughts on that?
The governor, after the whole shooter controversy, the governor hasn't talked as much about lawmaker conduct. You know, I guess I'm a little bit surprised that there hasn't been more high-level discussion on the code of conduct, just given the number of scandals in the last year. I mean, it's basically, you know, about a half dozen pretty high-profile issues of lawmaker conduct in the last year and several basically unprecedented episodes. But legislative immunity, I think, was kind of the top ticket item that Ducey saw as maybe an applause line. You know, there was the whole controversy with Paul Mosley, a former representative who was pulled over for speeding and evoked immunity to avoid a ticket. And we all saw the police body cam video that showed him bragging about how he drives, you know, sometimes up to 140 miles per hour. So I think that was kind of the easier, maybe low-hanging fruit for the governor to talk about, just that privilege to let lawmakers try to get out of tickets.
Dustin Gardner of the Arizona Republic, thanks as always.
Thank you, Steve.